Please turn with me now to the Word of God in Genesis 50. Last chapter of the book of Genesis. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel, and 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die. In my grave which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury thy father, according as he made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph and his brethren, and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Therefore the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned unto Egypt, he and all his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. Then Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. It's especially verse 25 of Genesis 50 that I want you to notice, and that in connection with this evening's sermon text, Exodus 13, verse 19. Exodus 13, verse 19 is the story of Israel's departure from Egypt. And we read in verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Those passages, at second to the last verse of Genesis, and Exodus 13, verse 19, are two of four passages in the Word of God that mention Joseph's bones. And I think you'll agree with me that mention, the fact that Joseph's bones are mentioned four times in the Word of God is a measure of the importance of those bones in the Word of God and for us. And so I call your attention this evening to Exodus 13, verse 19, along with those other three passages using the theme, Joseph's bones. And we're going to see, God willing, that Joseph's bones are a threefold promise of redemption, first of all, then also of deliverance, and finally of resurrection and eternal glory. Promise of redemption, a promise of deliverance, and a promise of resurrection and eternal glory. I think most of us, when we remember Joseph's words to his descendants, to the children of Israel, the story of how the Israelites brought Moses' bones out of Egypt, we understand that that had to do with Joseph's hope of eternal life and of heaven. But that's not the first thing of importance about those bones. We're going to talk about that, but Joseph's bones, as I've indicated in the divisions for tonight's sermon, are first of all a promise of redemption. Joseph's bones remind us of the work of Christ, the saving and redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And Joseph himself knew that when he made the children of Israel take an oath at the time of his death that they would carry his bones with them out of the land of Egypt. Joseph made that promise 400 years before God actually delivered his people from Egypt. And we're going to talk about that too. God will visit you, Joseph said. And he promised, and his bones were the proof of that, that God would bring them out of Egypt and would bring them to the promised land. But Joseph said that. That's one of those other two verses. Hebrews 11, verse 22. Joseph said that in faith. If you turn to Hebrews 11, verse 22, that is the one thing that Hebrews 11 remembers of Joseph as one of the great cloud of witnesses with which we are surrounded. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith. It's that word. Reflecting back on Genesis 50 and Exodus 13, it's that word that makes it so very clear that Joseph spoke of his bones to the children of Israel, thinking of Christ's redemptive work. I say that because faith is always faith in Christ and in his redemptive work. There is no other kind of faith but faith in Christ and his work. Joseph believed, we're going to come to that, believed that his bones belonged not in Egypt, where he had lived most of his life, but in the land of Canaan, believed that because Canaan was a picture of heaven. We've talked about that in our study of some passages in the book of Exodus. But Joseph believed that his bones belonged in that earthly land, which was a picture of heaven, because he believed that his bones were purchased or would be purchased by Christ himself. His bones belonged, if you will, in Christ's land because they had been purchased, would be purchased by Christ's blood. Amazing, isn't it? In fact, in light of those four passages of the Word of God, we've looked at three of them, I believe that we can say that Joseph was willing to have his body remain in Egypt for the sake of the Israelites during those 400 years so that they would have that testimony as long as they were in Egypt, to the saving work of him whom God had promised. so that they would live there as slaves in the land of Egypt, oppressed by Pharaoh and the Egyptians, lived there in the same faith that Joseph had when he made mention of his bones to them just before his death, that they would believe as Joseph believed. That wasn't true of all of them, of course, but the true Israelites, those who were not only children of Abraham, but children of God, that they would live in the faith, that they belonged in the land of Canaan, just as Joseph's bones did, because they were bought with the price of the blood of the Son of God. Again, I say, if you think that's exaggerating the matter, then you have to go to Hebrews 11, verse 22, and read again those words. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. I'm sure there are those who would question the fact that way back then in the Old Testament, Joseph could have had such faith in Christ. But then you have to remember what Jesus said of Abraham, who lived before Joseph. Your father Abraham saw my day, Jesus said to the unbelieving Jews, and was glad. So did Joseph. And it's because of that, that Joseph's bones were not just a testimony to the Israelites there in the land of Egypt, but remain a testimony, as Hebrews 11 indicates, remain a testimony to us. And a testimony of this, that we too, with body and soul, are purchased by the blood of Christ. We sometimes forget that, I think, with all the emphasis that's on the salvation of our souls, we forget that Christ's blood was shed to purchase not only our souls out of bondage and corruption and sin and death, all that Egypt represented, but that his blood was purchased also, his blood was shed also to purchase our bodies. That's the reason why we treat our bodies, the bodies of those who die as Christians, treat them with respect and bury them, not casually, but usually with a passage or passages from the Word of God, and with prayer, and bury them in the hope of the resurrection. That's the reason, even while we're still living, why we are required as Christians not to mistreat and abuse our bodies with drugs and alcohol and in other ways, but to remember that our bodies are purchased by Christ himself, and treat them with respect until he comes again and changes our bodies into the likeness of his own glorious body. Those bones of Joseph are a testimony to the fact that, purchased by the blood of God's Son, the bones of God's people, their bodies, can never, ever be forgotten by God. There are some of God's people whose bodies not only, but whose bones have returned to the dust. Not a trace of them to be found anymore. There are some of God's people whose graves, final resting places, we don't even know. John Calvin is one of them. No one knows where Calvin was buried, but God knows. Because his body, as is true for the bodies of all God's people, were purchased by Christ. And in the case of those whose bodies have returned to the dust, Joseph's bones are a reminder of the fact that God knows, if I may put it that way, where every atom of their dust is, so that when the great day of resurrection comes, he gathers the dust of those bodies and raises it from death and from the dust, and transforms it, and makes it like the body of his own only begotten Son. Joseph's bones are a testimony of that, first of all. When you have to go to the grave of a loved one, perhaps, remember Joseph's bones. And when you yourself face that last hour of earthly life, and it comes for many of us with fear and a struggle, when you face that last hour, then remember Joseph's bones. Riddled with cancer, hurting, aching, God does not forget the bones of his people, because a price, the redemptive price of the blood of Christ, was paid not only for the souls of his people, but for their bodies and bones. That's why Joseph's bones, that's why first of all Joseph's bones are mentioned four times in the Word of God. Joseph himself mentioned the deliverance of the people of Israel in connection with what he said about his bones. And that makes them not just a promise of redemption, but also a promise of deliverance. Left his bones in Egypt with them as a kind of reminder, visible reminder, resting there in the coffin in which they were placed in the land of Egypt, a reminder of the fact that God would visit them and deliver them. 400 years before God actually did visit them and deliver them. Joseph's bones in Egypt then were a kind of promise that God would bring them out of Egypt. But that's not all you must think of when you think of their deliverance. That was only the beginning of their deliverance. Their deliverance continued, as we've seen in our studies of Exodus. Their deliverance continued during those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Oh, they had to be delivered from Pharaoh, that Old Testament picture of the devil, and from the bondage of Egypt, which was a picture of the slavery and bondage of sin. But they had to be delivered too. And that's what the 40 years in the wilderness were all about. They had to be delivered too from their own sinfulness. And Joseph knew that. Probably knew that better than most. He had himself experienced firsthand the sinfulness of Israel when his own brothers sold him as a slave into Egypt. And there is no doubt about it that Joseph was thinking of that also when he spoke to the Israelites in connection with his bones of their deliverance, not just from Egypt, but from their own sinfulness. And you have to think then of Joseph's bones being carried for 40 years during Israel's wilderness wandering, always a reminder to the Israelites, God has delivered you, and He is delivering you. At Marah, at Elam, at Rephidim and Sinai, at Kibroth and Kadesh. That was what the people of God needed to hear. Hungry, thirsting, suffering, the heat and torments of the wilderness, tried by God Himself to the limits of their endurance. They had to remember this is necessary. This is God's will for you, because having been delivered from Egypt, you must also be delivered from your own sinfulness. And Joseph's bones carried with them those long years of their wandering in the wilderness were a constant reminder of the fact that that was what God was doing with them. All in preparation, too, for their entrance into the land of Canaan. Take that and try to apply it to yourself. You know how that applies? Joseph's bones purchased by Christ had to be delivered. I say Joseph wasn't even alive anymore. Nevertheless, his departure from Egypt with the children of Israel was a reminder of the fact that the God who redeems his people also delivers them, both from the bondage and from the presence of sin. And that's what's true for us. If your bones, your body, is purchased by the blood of the Son of God, then that deliverance is needed ever so much more than Israel needed deliverance from Egypt and in the wilderness. Talked about that, about our flesh this morning. And in the Bible, body and flesh are not exactly the same thing. But that doesn't change the fact that our bodies, our bones, if you will, are the principal instruments of what we call our flesh, our old nature. Temptation comes to us. Through our eyes and our ears and all of our other bodily senses. It's our bodies that are the instruments of our sinful nature. When we yield to temptation and fall into sin, and it's therefore those bones, that body, that purchased by Christ must be delivered. Not just from the bondage of sin, but from the constant presence of sin. And that's what your life here in the wilderness is all about. All that you go through, all the trials, all the struggles, all the difficulties of this life are as much a part of your deliverance as those 40 years of Israel's wandering in the wilderness. God is delivering you, and Joseph's bones are a reminder of that also. When you're struggling with sin and with temptation, when your way through the wilderness of this world seems long and weary and unendurable, when it seems that you go from one trial to the next and there's no rest from those trials, then, again, if I may put it that way, take Joseph's bones with you. And remember what he said in connection with his bones. God will visit you and deliver you. Really, the truth is, God is visiting you, and he is delivering you. And there's another reason why Joseph's bones are mentioned 4 times in the Word of God. The passage that we haven't looked at is in Joshua 24. And that's the story, part of the story of Israel's arrival in the land of Canaan. Joshua 24, verse 32, almost the last verse of the book of Joshua, you read, "And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph." So there you have the story of the arrival of Joseph's bones in the land of Canaan and their burial there. Why was that important? Joseph himself was in heaven. What did it matter anymore where his body was buried? Why is it even mentioned in the Word of God, except perhaps as a testimony to the fact that the children of Israel never forgot Joseph's words, never forgot him and what he had done for his people in the land of Egypt? You have to remember, that goes back to what I said at the very beginning of tonight's sermon. Have to remember something that we all know, that that earthly land of Canaan was for God's people in the Old Testament a picture of heaven. As I said, Joseph was already in heaven. He was there, as every child of God is, the moment he died. But that didn't change the fact that he wanted his bones to be buried, not in Egypt with the Pharaohs and those who served them, but in the land that God had promised his people. Joseph wanted that. You understand? Joseph wanted that because he was like Abraham. God had promised Abraham the land of Canaan. Abraham never received, the book of Acts says, enough of the land of Canaan to put his foot on, except when finally he was buried in the cave of Machpelah. And Hebrews 11 explains that, the fact that Abraham was content to have only a burying place in the land of Canaan, when God had promised him the land, to him and to his descendants, forever. Hebrews 11 says he was content because already then he understood that the land that God had promised was not really that earthly land, that was only a picture. But that heavenly land, Messiah's land, of which the land of Canaan was just a shadow and a type. Hebrews 11 says of Abraham, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Look for a better country than that earthly land, which in those days was a land flowing with milk and honey. Looked for the place where God himself has promised to live forever with his people as their God, and to keep covenant and fellowship and faithfulness with them forever. That's what Abraham looked for, and there is no doubt, can be no doubt, that that's the reason why Joseph insisted that his bones be carried all the way from Egypt for 40 years of wandering in the wilderness to the land of Canaan and be buried there, buried in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. That too was a testimony to the Israelites, a testimony that spoke of Joseph's hope in the resurrection of the dead and of eternal glory with Christ in heaven. And Joseph's bones still bear that testimony today. The testimony that not only when we depart this life will our spirits return to God who gave them, but that these bodies also will be raised and glorified in that land of which Canaan was only a shadow. That too goes back to that word faith in Hebrews 11. Our bones belong with Christ because he purchased them. And belonging to Christ, they not only must be with him, but they must be with him in his own land. That land of which Canaan, the earthly land of Canaan, was only a type. Your bones, my bones, this body, the body that Paul calls in Philippians vile, must be raised and changed that it may be forever with him who purchased it in his own heavenly land, in that city that Abraham looked for, and that better country where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph are already, and to which every child of God must come, first at the moment of death, as Joseph did, and then also in that day when God, who remembers the dust of his people, will raise them again from the dust and take them to be with himself. That, as you get older, I think you understand that better. That's what gives us the grace to die in faith as we have lived in faith, to die in hope of being with him who purchased us, body and soul, with his own precious blood, by the sacrifice of his body on the tree of the cross, and who has promised us that we are now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Leave you then with the words of Jesus to Martha at the tomb of Lazarus. I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I trust you do. Amen. Heavenly Father, apply the word to our hearts again this evening. Preached with much weakness and sin, heard with much weakness and sin, we ask that that word may quicken our faith in Christ, may revive our hope in him, and give us the assurance that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Forgive us our sins and bless us as we go our separate ways again this evening, keeping us in peace and safety through the coming week and giving each of us in our place and calling all that we need to serve thee faithfully and thankfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.